Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. And everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Fears and failures, oh, fill my life again. I give my life to Father, everything I believe in. And now I surrender. I surrender, God, oh, and Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is
Addison and the band. Yes, all right. So, friends, here we are. It is January the 15th, already the middle of January, can you believe? And we are continuing our current focus, which is on hope, specifically tying into a sermon series that is called Hope for the Living of These Days. So where do we find hope? Now, all of us have various concerns, all of us have worries, and those can just pop up at any point in time. Jobs and family, relationships, finances, You know, some of us could just roll out a list, right? And so what is it, though, that we can count on when we're going through anxiety and stress and fear? Well, Faith Community for the Living of These Days, let us center ourselves on hope. And we seek hope. And so what we're going to do this morning in my message, which is called True Power and Lasting Hope, we're going to incorporate in that passage, that scripture passage from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31 that was read earlier by Jewel de Guzman. And it is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. So last Sunday in my message, Waters of Hope, we focused on Jesus. That's always a good thing, isn't it? Focusing on, yeah, right. So, and this one specifically, Jesus was being baptized in the Jordan River, and this particular baptism was extremely important because it started Jesus's public ministry, right? And it was an act, as we discussed, it was an act of grace, alignment, and solidarity. And that solidarity was basically, this is what it was about. Jesus is making it known that God loves us and God is with us, and that we, all of us, everyone, we are beloved children of God, and that every one of us is loved, and we belong to God. We're beautifully created in God's image. Well, in times in which I was thinking this week, in times in which everything is all hunky-dory, we're on top of the world, everything's going well, it's all pleasant, it's peaceful, kumbaya, no issues are going on around us. Well, of course, it's really easy to think that God is with us and God loves us, right? Yeah? And so, but I want to point out that this poem that was read to us, that's from Isaiah, well, guess what? That's not spoken to those of us who are on top of the world, where we're feeling the power, sort of like Jace bringing up the fist. We got the power, right? Right? Because this poignant poem is actually for those who feel powerless, that they are going through the not-so-good kind of vibes, that they're not getting the feels. They're removed, if you will. And so I'm going to put it this way. I think all of us can relate. Has anyone here ever experienced at times when it's not so easy to feel God's love? Oh, already getting some hands raised. Look at that. Woo! All right, so we're told, though, aren't we? We are told that the Holy One is always with us, right? The Holy One always loves us, right? But it's really hard at times that our heart and our mind, they are not clicking. There's a disconnect between them. And it's because we're stuck in the muck and mire of life that we are going through something significant with a change, and it's happening, and it's really just caused sort of an earthquake in our lives. And we're dealing with loss and grief. We're dealing with being energy zapped, I'll put it that way, energy zapped. And when you're energy zapped, that's when you're really feeling vulnerable. You're really susceptible to what's going on, and it's not so good. You feel separated. You feel isolated. Now, regardless of how we may have handled situations in the past, we are prone, my friends, as human beings, to growing weary and growing weak. Life has a way of just dogpiling it on us. Life has a way of just burdening us, and it's placing an overload of trouble and turmoil upon us. And it feels like sometimes it's just too much to endure and bear. I think we've all been there at some point. Now, distractions, though, can also push us away from God being the center of our lives. And we have what I would say are moments of God forgetfulness. As an author that I really like, his name is Philip Yancey, he calls this spiritual amnesia. Spiritual amnesia. Now, so I want us to go back in time to the very first hearers of this passage. So we're talking around 2,500 years ago. And it's certainly understandable as to how they would have related to what was written. Okay, because these individuals who were exiles had been removed and forced from their homes. They were scattered as the temple in Jerusalem had been laid waste. They had become refugees from the very land that had held promise for them. They were a people who longed for Jerusalem. They were a people who wept at the rivers of Babylon. And they were the faint and they were the powerless. And they, and I want you to think about that, they were seeing their youth, who usually you're thinking youth is like, they got the vibrancy and their passion, and they got all the energy. And they were seeing their youth faint and grow weary, and they were exhausted. How do you think that jibes with you, right? They were tired. I'm talking capital T-I-R-E-D. And this had been going on for nearly 70 years. That they were away from their homes, and they were questioning. They were questioning, are they ever going to return home? Their exile had caused the people, now get this, this exile had caused the people to forget their own story. They had, the story that I'm talking about is God's attentiveness, God's dependability, the story of God's love for Israel. They were experiencing spiritual amnesia. Questioning the presence and love and power of this God. Now, indeed, friends, when we get tired, when we get exhausted, when we feel overwhelmed or lonely, it's easy for us to experience spiritual amnesia too, feeling distance from the Creator who has created all of us, wondering, what in the world is God's purpose for me? and you, what's the plan? God, what's the plan? I bet you some of us have asked that question before too. What's the plan? What's going on? Wondering, why in the world has God left us all high and dry? Why am I feeling not so jiggy? Friends, we often forget who we are and whose we are. We forget, or we don't even think about, what is it that you believe in? Or why do you even believe that? In these times, friends, which are extremely difficult, when the challenges of life are severe, when hope may be hard to sustain, here is the prophet who told the first hearers, and I'm reminding all of us, the hearers of today as well, here's the key word today, remember. Remember. We are to remember the God who created, not only gave life and creates, not only gave life at the very beginning, but also gives life in the present. Amen? Yes. As we're told by the prophet, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God doesn't faint. God doesn't grow weary or anything else like that. What God does is he gives the power. God gives the power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Yes? Verse 31, those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. You know, as I was reflecting on this particular verse right here, this mounting up with wings like eagles, it reminds me of one of my friends. His name is the Reverend Rob Spencer, and he lives near Paris, Texas, and he is the lead cultivator for a nonprofit organization called Cultivating Community, Cultivate Community. And that mission of that organization is to connect neighbors to neighbors and neighbors to nature. Rob is doing a phenomenal job with habitat restoration, and he's invited me to come visit him at the farm in northeast Texas, and I'm looking forward to that so I can experience the awesomeness of nature. I love to experience nature. And so part of that experience with Rob is seeing bald eagles. And so I'm going to show you a photo that Rob sent to me of one, and this is at the farm. And I just look at that, and it is so amazing, this bald eagle flying. And harmony, the words, I was thinking about this, is the words, and it says, mount up. If you look at that and you dissect it, what it really means is to ascend. To ascend. And then you see, it is truly magnificent, this eagle that heads into the sky and flapping its massive wings. Did you know that an eagle's wings spread? In fact, I was gonna bring a yardstick and just add mine. So right here, I'm spreading my arms, and this is 6 feet, right here, 6 feet. We'll add another foot and a half for an eagle's wings. That's pretty massive, isn't it? And when I was in Peru, and I was looking at the Andean condors, they're up to 10 feet. 10 feet, that's massive, right? And I love this, that they are leaving a point on earth and they are ascending to become airborne. And this stunning bird, this one specifically, thinking about the bald eagle, it breaks the grip of gravity, ascending high above this world with its toil and troubles and snares. And likewise, with this imagery, what God is doing is promising to help us to break free from that which is binding us, to rise above our problems, to rise above whatever, whomever, and however is holding us back from what Spirit wants for us, to soar above the difficulties of this life, to break the grip of gravity. Amen? And I just want to point out that this grip of gravity, this spiritual amnesia, see, I've been talking about the downside of stuff, haven't I? Right? Well, guess what? It happens, and even more so, when everything's going right in our lives, when everything's going well, because I think that right there, it's really easy to forget about God when, hey, I got it going. It's smooth sailing right now. And what happens in those moments is we fall prey to thinking, I'm the one in control. I'm the one making it happen. I'm the one in charge. That's not the case. So to avoid spiritual amnesia is a process. To avoid spiritual amnesia is a process. And that process is a daily habit. A daily habit of reorientation and a daily habit of conscious remembering. Conscious remembering. And in the remembering, we connect. We identify. We identify where and how we feel closest to God. And by doing this, friends, here is when and where we are less likely to experience the amnesia part. So, in what ways can we reorientate and have this conscious remembering going on? Well, I'm going to share what helps me. Prayer and meditation is one way of this conscious remembering, because what prayer and meditation does is it grounds me. It grounds me. And prayer, for me, it occurs every which way. It's not just a one thing. How boring would that be, right? Prayer for me can happen. I can kneel at the bed. I can be in bed. I can be walking. I can be doing chores, washing dishes. I can be drinking coffee. Hallelujah. Thank you, coffee. Right? So, but I can be praying while I'm drinking my coffee. I can pray, and I do pray silently for those who are around me. When I'm on a train or a bus or in the car, I'm passing by and someone's, you know, not being so nice to me, and I'm praying for them. All right? So, and what prayer does is it helps quiet my soul. It helps quiet my soul by inviting God into my day. See, I'm inviting God into my day. And with that invitation, here's where God becomes a central reality. Huh? Another way is by being grateful and thankful. I've talked about this before. I can't stress it enough, being grateful and thankful, because it is a way of remembering that God is the source of true power, lasting hope, and enduring faith. There have been times, now I mentioned about walking and praying. There's times when I walk, and I can walk for 30 to 40 minutes over my neighborhood, and usually maybe in the evening. And what I do is I spend that entire, and it can last the entire time, I'm not joking, 30 to 40 minutes. I'm walking in the neighborhood, and I'm giving thanks during that entire walk. And it can fill up the whole time where I'm giving thanks for everyone and everything that has been happening in that day. It's amazing how quick it goes. And I'm telling you, when I do that, I feel so connected to the Lord at those times. And it really helps me. It is really a truly special moment in my life, and it's a way of conscious remembering. I feel closest to God when I am being with and serving others. And this, what I mean by that is I'm sharing my faith. I may not be sharing my faith exactly in words, but I could be sharing my faith in action and in deeds. And it's even in the simplest of things. For those of you who may follow me on Facebook, I got a little Facebook page, whatever. Yesterday, but it was a week ago, I woke up and I had this urge. There's something was telling me to go to the farmer's market over here in LA. I haven't been in a number of years. And so I went, I was like, okay, God, I'm going to go. And so I was wandering around and I had breakfast at this little spot. And this woman, this young lady, she was sitting next to me and she kept staring at me. And I was like, oh, what's going on? And so she wanted to, eventually I learned she wanted to engage in a conversation. I was like, all right, what's up? And it led, and was a very nice conversation, and then she said, well, what is it that you do? And, of course, I went, I'm a pastor, and just, you know, bracing myself. And she was really surprised. She was surprised. And I was like, well, why are you surprised I'm a pastor? And she says, well, you're so nice. And I'm like, okay. But what I found out from her is she was talking about the level of hurt and judgment that she has gotten from the church people. And she was really surprised that it was coming from a preacher that was expressing about the affirming love of God. And so, and I spoke about this faith community, and she was like, well, thank God that there is somebody here doing what all of you are doing. So it was a really great conversation. So that's that meeting. That's what I'm saying about sharing your faith, right? Among the other ways in the remembering of God, I really enjoy studying the Bible. I urge everybody to study the Bible. But like Philip Yancey, studying the Bible isn't—it's not merely to master the work of great literature. It's not to learn great theology. Oh, I'm a great theologian, right? No, it's to actually let the inescapable message of God's love and personal concern soak into my soul. That's what it's about. So in what, in whom do we truly and ultimately put our faith into? It's in the almighty power of God who renews our strength, the Lord who is the source of the true power. I'm going to close my message with this quote by Meister Eckhart. Meister Eckhart was a German theologian, German Catholic theologian, mystic, and philosopher. And he said this, and I want you to take this in, that he says the soul must long for God in order to be set aflame by God's love. But if the soul cannot yet feel this longing, then it must long for the longing. To long for the longing is also from God. I love that quote. So as we move forward, let us long for God and put ourselves in the presence of the Holy One. And in, friends, in our conscious remembering, may the Lord fill us with lasting hope. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So as I now invite Shauna Carroll to come to the front, because now we're going to do something a little different. As you know, we're shaking worship up here at Harmony, yes? Today is going to be an Our Story moment. I'd like us to rise, greet our neighbors, and pass the peace of Christ with one another. Peace.
Okay, climb up on this chair while no one's looking.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I like it. Look at this. Yeah.
All right. We like being social.
Yes. So as we, so last week, I don't know who all was here for Brunch and Learn. Brunch and Learn last week, did you like it?
Yes.
Yes, I think you loved it. Oh, look, it's clapping. Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's second Sundays of the month. So this, friends, is called Our Story. And what I feel when I was talking with the leadership team, Our Story, yes, we're going to focus today on Shauna Carroll. It's her story, but her story is part of our story here at Harmony. And so it's not just a her, it's an us, right? And it's funny because I was talking about conscious remembering, and when you and I were going back and forth, it caused you to do some conscious remembering, didn't it?
Oh, of course, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I kind of get stuck in sometimes in that unconscious, you know, the forgetfulness.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. It happens.
Yes, that's spiritual amnesia.
Spiritual amnesia.
Yeah, here we go. So I'm going to time us out so I know exactly what's going on. So this is the only reason why I'm on my phone, people. I'm not on Facebook. So here we go. So I'm going to ask you a few questions to share about your story, our story.
Great.
And so what led you to Harmony Toluca Lake? Let's start off with that one.
All right. So I grew up in the Catholic faith. We went to church every Sunday. I come from very devout, like my great-grandmother was very devout. She had 14 kids.
Woo!
Right? Woo! Full house. And my grandfather was very devout, and we went to church every Sunday. And there's a few things about the Catholic, I loved learning about Jesus, and I loved being there. And then my parents got divorced. And I don't know if you know this, but within the Catholic Church, when you get divorced, you're no longer allowed to fully participate in service. And that kind of stuck with me. And amongst, there's some other things, right? The Catholic Church, whatever. But that really stuck with me. So although we did get married in the Catholic Church, we kind of fell out, right? And then we moved to LA. And one day we got a phone call from Elliot Lawrence, who used to play bass here. And he was like, hey, I have a gig in Toluca Lake. And he was like, you should come. It's at 10:30 in the morning. You should come. It's right down the street from where you live. And I was like, okay, great. We show up.
And who's we?
Me and Justin, my husband.
Okay, right.
Show up, and we go, hey, this is a church. I was like, did he tell you it was a church? And my husband's like, no.
He just told you it was a gig.
He just told us it was a gig.
That's a way to get them in, people.
So we look at each other. We're sitting outside, and we're like, okay, we'll go in, and if we don't like it, it's fine, right? It's fine. We'll see Elliot. Everything will be good, right? It'll be good. Great. So we decide to come in, and it happened to be Communion Sunday.
Ooh,
that Sunday.
There we go.
And the thing that really spoke
now,
to
well,
me.
Well, and let's help people, because that's important.
Yes.
About communion, because of what you'd experienced, you couldn't partake in communion.
Right. And
previously.
I could not. You can't partake in communion at a Catholic church unless you go and you have to talk to the priest and you have to confess your sins. It's a whole process.
But because of the divorce, that also caused a separation.
Correct.
Okay.
So it was Communion Sunday, and I remember you being up here and saying that everyone was welcome. Everyone, regardless if you had been here or... It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Everybody was welcome to come and partake in communion. And that really struck a chord with me. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, that's a little church hurt, right? From before, where you're not allowed to participate fully. I mean, I don't know. I always think if Jesus was up here, he wouldn't be like, yeah, you can part, not you. You, yeah, cool, come down, not... I don't know. Did you confess your sin? I don't know. Maybe not you, but you know, I never thought that Jesus would be that. I think, and I felt that love when you were like, everyone is welcome. So that made us talk and say, we're coming back. And that was the thing that really struck a chord with me.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I know you didn't know that.
Well, thank you. Wow.
I know.
So since you first started coming here, and I guess I more so because you first started coming here roughly, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
And so when you first started coming here, how has your views of God and Jesus, how has that changed? Has it changed?
Oh, it has changed. It has changed. Again, like I grew up with the doom and gloom of the Catholic Church. It's kind of... You know, it's like, repent, look what you did. They put the Jesus right in the front on the cross and be like, hey, this is your fault, right? And it's kind of heavy like that. But here, we celebrate the joy of living with Jesus. Woohoo, joy! And there was one sermon series that you had talked about, and it was the radical Jesus and the love of radical Jesus. And I never, ever thought of Jesus as a radical anything before that. But it really, like, opened my mind up to really, like, looking at these Bible stories in a different way, in a more loving way. Yes, he was very progressive with love. And it really struck a chord in me. And I feel like before it was like Jesus was kind of unattainable. And now I feel like Jesus is more accessible when I look at the stories in a different way. And when I know that it's just love. It's just love. And what he did for us was out of love. It's just a whole different perspective.
Great. Well, it sort of ties into last week's sermon about Jesus, where he's in the river with us.
Right, with us, right. Not like, hey, buddy, you're bad. Good luck.
Good luck. I love it. in your, I would say, thinking back here in your, we can talk about just life, but you can talk past, you can talk present. But in your past or present, what or who has given you a taste of God's love?
Okay, so it's a couple of things. One, I found this letter that my great-grandmother wrote to my grandfather when he was very sick in 1957. He got sick in the service and almost died. And I read this letter sometimes, and her faith was beyond anything that I have. Like, I look at my faith, and I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm like, she's really strong in her faith. And I read this letter, and it helps me kind of center myself on my faith. She says, there's a line that she says in that letter that's, it's not the cross that's too heavy. It's the splinters of the world that hurt so much. Mm. And that really, like, I read that. When I read that, it really helps me to go, okay, you do have faith. You do. Things happen. It's not easy out there, guys, you know? So I read that, and it gives me a little solace in my own faith. This week, as I was overthinking all of this, because, you know, I was just like, oh, hey, I don't have any faith. Do I have faith? What is faith? I don't know. I was so in my head. And last night, we went out to dinner with some friends. And as we were walking into the restaurant, there was a homeless man that was inside trying to get out of the rain. And I had heard that they were giving him some chips and salsa at this restaurant to take home. And I was all in my head about lots of things and busy, and you know how that goes. And Justin turns to the lady at the desk and says, can I buy him dinner? And that just completely took me back into, hey, this is God's love. Mm-hmm. And it's everywhere. You just have to look for it. You got to get out of here and get into here. Mm-hmm. And it's everywhere.
Right. So sort of tying in again to today's message about that disconnect and where you're trying to align heart and mind together.
And when you try to get, you know, and sometimes when I get busy and I'm working too much and I'm tired, like you said, I kind of fall out of that mindset. And I'm like, well, I'm just tired. I don't know. All this stuff is happening in my head. And I don't. Seeing something like that gets me out of that. Mm-hmm. It gets me back connected with God's grace and love.
Yeah. So we give thanks to God that Justin was moved and allowed that moment to occur, right? Spontaneously. Right?
It really was moving.
I also want to give, that was your great-grandmother that wrote that letter?
Yes.
Right? Let's give thanks also to your great-grandmother. And this is a great reminder also. It's a great reminder for all of us when we're talking about remembering, right? That the things that you write, the things that you say, the things that you do, they have lasting impact. It is enduring. And this is a prime example of conscious remembering, because now you get to remember that and live into that. I think it's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. So, good. We're doing great on time. So, so I think in regards to how, in fact, I think I could even answer this one, but it'll be interesting to hear you add to it. When did you become aware, or I'm sure you're aware of God's presence at various times. It's sort of like last night, God's presence came into the restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. Working through Justin. Now, what's another example for you of being aware of God's presence? And then we're going to go to the opposite spectrum.
Okay, great. So I grew up with a brother that has special needs, and he has lots of health issues.
Some of us have met John.
John has
been here before.
He's been here before. And there is a way that he will look at me sometimes where he just looks, I swear, it's like he can see right into my soul. And the love that comes through him to me in those moments, I'm like, this is truly God's love. And seeing that reflection just in the way that he looks at you and your trust. And he has faith. He has amazing faith. And I've seen, you know, miracles happen with him and his health. Honestly, I was thinking about this. I was like, there are small miracles that happen every day. Mm-hmm. Every day. And you see them. I've seen them. But just to be loved like that. It's the way that he looks at me. And I'm like, yeah, this is what God's love feels like.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, too, adding to that with God's presence, we have prayed and have prayed for John when John has gone through some serious health issues. And I know that that has also impacted family, right?
Absolutely.
Knowing that we are praying for John.
Absolutely.
Now, so I'm going to go the opposite spectrum on this one. It'll be interesting to see what you say. So when we talk about God's presence, when are you least aware of God's presence?
Definitely in the times where I'm overwhelmed at work. When I'm overwhelmed at work, I'm like, oh, I just want to go home. I just can't. I just leave me alone. I don't know. I work in a restaurant, and things can be overwhelming. And I think sometimes when I come home and I'm exhausted, and I've been around people who really need things all day long, right?
And you probably don't get treated well, either, sometimes.
When people are hangry, they're not necessarily nice, you know? They're hangry. And so you have to kind of take on all that hangriness at work. And sometimes by the end of the day, I'm like, you know, completely exhausted and completely removed from, honestly, my own self.
So what snaps you to? What helps snap you to?
I think what helps snap me to is definitely coming here every Sunday. Mm. Helps. Hearing the message helps. Trying to find that praying. I pray a lot. I pray every night. I pray in the day. Sometimes I'm at work and I'm praying. I'm like, look, Jesus, take the wheel, please. Because it's rough in here. I think praying definitely helps. I think taking a minute to just sit back and breathe. Mm-hmm. And to be with people that recharge my batteries. Mm-hmm. Helps as well. Knowing that I have people in my life who love me and who can recharge those batteries, you know, just being around that helps. I think it's those things. It's like taking a minute to calm down. But then, like I said, seeing things like what happened last night at that restaurant, mm-hmm, really bounced me back into perspective.
Right. You know? So this is tying in, again, to today's message about conscious remembering, right? And
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. All right. One last question.
Okay.
One last question. See, this goes by quick, doesn't it?
It does.
I hope you're enjoying this. Yeah. So Shauna is on the leadership team, and what a blessing she is. And she'll be leading a small group on Saturdays. That is, we're determining about the timing, and that's going to be revealed here soon. And I'll talk more in the announcements about this. But here's the last question. It's a doozy.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Let's do it.
So you're a stand-up comedian, right?
Yes.
And stand-up is not necessarily like clean.
Wah, wah. It's like you've been there.
Yeah, I've learned some sign language, too. So how do you mesh your faith with stand-up comedy? I'm just interested in that. And
yeah.
I think that's part of our story of how we mesh our lives, our faith, with what's going on, right? So here we go. Last question.
Okay, so I think that my faith plays a big role in that. I have done, we'll say spiritual humor. Mm-hmm. I've included Jesus and God and my faith and even harmony in my jokes. And I think doing that in a space like a comedy club, right? If you can get people to laugh about things, you can get people to talk about things. So, yes, I tell these jokes, and sometimes people will come up to me afterward and they'll go, you told a joke about Jesus. Is that a good idea? And I'm like, first of all, Jesus already knows, right? He made me. He knows my humor. He knows, right? As nothing is ever malicious. It's always lighthearted and good fun. And then they'll ask me, do you really go to church? Yes, I do. Yes, I'm very strong in my faith. I go to church. I go to a wonderful church. And then I tell them about harmony and about how inclusive and loving we are. And that there are places that are inclusive and loving. And it opens up a conversation that sometimes you couldn't have otherwise. Mm-hmm. I've had conversations in bars with comedians that were curious about my faith and being here. And even like you've come to a show or two, and then they'll ask me about you. And they're like, really, he came to your show?
And learned sign language.
And learned sign language. He learned some very interesting sign language, guys.
Stuff I can't use here.
Yes. But it really does open up a conversation and allows people, me to talk to people. And again, kind of gets that, like, because everybody has the doom and gloom thing, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it doesn't have to be that way. There is joy in Jesus. Joy. There is joy in faith. Mm-hmm. There is humor in all of it. You can find the humor and the lightheartedness in all of it. And like I said, it really does open up those conversations. And I, you know, again, even with my comedy, I try to fill it with lightheartedness and love. Yeah, I've had really great, and then after these sets where I include some of these things, I've had really great these conversations, and people will tell me about church hurt, or they'll tell me about times when they've experienced the love of inclusive love of God. And I mean, what a better place to do it than somewhere where you think you wouldn't find it. You find it everywhere.
You wouldn't think you'd be finding Jesus in the comedy club.
No, but you do.
Right.
But you find Jesus in the comedy club, and it's different, I know. It doesn't strike people as a place you'd go to talk about Jesus. But like I said, it's really opened up conversation for me and other people. And I think conversation that people want to have, but they don't have a chance to.
Right. Sort of like what I was talking about, farmer's market.
Right, like farmer's market.
You just make yourself open to that. So this is a good reminder that, again, sharing one's faith doesn't matter where you're at, right? And you're not trying to convert.
No.
Right? And you're just being open. You're an open vessel to help. I want to point out that Shauna last week, as we close this, Shauna invited someone, and I think that's important too. We invite people. We invite people to come in. I see Vijay and his fiance here, and Vijay and I, we connected on the phone, but it's been like 4 years, and I'm just so excited. But that's an invitation again, and I'm just so thrilled that his fiance is here, and all of you, of course, but it's like a reunion for me to see him. But in this instance, I think the invitation is so important because you never know where it's going to lead, right? And the other thing I really appreciate that you've led as we close this is sometimes people look at Jesus and Jesus is just stoic. Jesus is all serious. There's no humor to this guy. Let me tell you, there's plenty of humor in the Bible. Jesus has got some humor going on, and maybe that'll be one of my sermon series coming up about the humor of Jesus, right? Yes. So without sign language.
No
so,
sign.
So, any last words as we close this?
I love being here. I love that we're here every Sunday. I love that my perspective on faith has changed in such a positive way. And you're right. There is lots of humor in the Bible, and like, it's not everything has to be so like heavy. Right? Everything is always so heavy. Let's focus on some joy.
Joy. There we go. Amen. Thank you, Shauna.
Thank you.